You're listening to the Art of Play podcast. Here we are talking about the research of fun, talking to people who are contagiously creative and playful, and inviting you to find creative ways to stay curious in developing your best human self. Happy Friday. Today is a great day for an interview. We are talking about potential in the month of March. So we have gone over a few different weeks of potential sort of in your life, also where you can find potential in your reading. And this week I interviewed Autumn Kimball. Now I interviewed her back in November before I chose the theme of potential for the month of March. And so our interview is a little bit differing as far as the drive of the conversation isn't fully towards potential. However, Autumn is the kind of creative that legitimately runs at the potential opportunities in her life. Just full steam ahead. She is the most original creative that I follow on social media, that I am, you know, exposed to as far as the media that I choose to take into my life. And her view on all sorts of perspectives is astounding to me. So for me to say that she is, that this interview is all about potential isn't true. But she does talk about just embracing the potential of what your life can be, and then the authentic and raw potential in your life to embrace it as your own personal code of creative authenticity. She's a very fascinating person. She's worked as a creative director for massive companies and for little tiny companies. She's done a whole spectrum of fine artwork. She has designed clothing. She has made clothing. She's done all sorts of things on the creative spectrum and let that educate and influence her to be the person that she is. She also is a mother of six, but four of her boys are quadruplets. So you'll hear a little bit more about that. And because I did this interview before 2021, we did this over Zoom. So the content has been edited for time, but it is a little bit long. So we are going to just jump right in. I hope you just enjoy Autumn's advice. Okay, so today we have Autumn Kimball here. We are doing a Zoom call because she's in Colorado, I'm in Salt Lake, and we are just talking to her about play, because if you don't know who Autumn Kimball is, she has a creative presence in the fashion industry. She also has a creative presence on Instagram and as a mother and her illustrations. She's a multifaceted creative, and I have her here today because a while back she posted about playing with her kids, but also being just a playful person in general, that she finds joy and creativity for herself in play. And so I have her on today to kind of speak to that and to what she does. So Autumn, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Okay. So I guess I first foremost, people like to say that I'm a mother, which I am, but I'm also a creative individual on my own. And as you said, I try to merge the two, you know, my individual being seamless with being a mother. So I started calling myself Kimball Creative, my last name. People always call me Kim, but my name's actually Autumn. I am a creative because people used to say, oh, what do you do? When I first started out in school, I went for painting for fine art, and then it branched out from there because one, I needed to make money and support myself and then also my family for several years, being the only income, putting my husband through school, and then being landlocked, you know, for not a better term, with children. I found myself outside of the corporate environment or, you know, my traditional creative work environment. And I still had just a pull towards being industriously creative, you know, where I could see a product of some sort, not necessarily sell it, but And at that time, Instagram had just really launched, which dates me, I'm sure. But it, like, you know, all, there was a bunch of us from Oh Joy, you know, and all those, you know, Design Mom, they are huge. I chose to not endorse anything and just endorse my life. And so I had lots of opportunities. And sometimes I really try to promote that of like, endorse your own life rather than get endorsements. So that's really me in a nutshell is, you know, to this date, I think I pass up a lot of financial opportunities because I, you know, that would maybe help me, but I, and maybe make me famous to some level, but instead I endorse my family and living a life that's catered to me and what I want to give to my children. And I don't know. That's me in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I think you do that really well. I think it's a pretty concise presence that you have on Instagram. You share your artistic side, you share your creative side, you share your active outdoorsiness, and then you share your six boys. I mean, this woman has six children and four of them are the age of my oldest. They're 14, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, they will be 14 in January.
So yeah. Yes. So it's like four teenagers lead the pack. They are the pack, I guess, is really
all of them the herd affectionately.
Yeah. So, yes. So they and so you do it really authentically too. You're really clear about I am a creative, but that flows into every other aspect of your life. You know, you're creative in your time management, especially where you have a 14-year-old pack herd. And then
yes.
How long before, because then you have the two younger, Tor and Vaughn.
A 9-year gap. And then I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Okay. So in that 9 years, I mean, you let, you know, the creativity flow into every aspect of, you know.
The hustle. I mean, every creative knows this. It's like this thing that keeps you up at night. Everyone thinks you're a little crazy because you have all these different projects going and you have so many interests. And I have found that most creatives get like a bad rap of being non-focused or, you know, kind of being, I don't know, kind of like a squirrel.
Or yeah.
Like a dog.
Just easily. Yeah. There's just a lot of.
So I actually really try to start something, finish it, and really delve into some of my interests. And I bring my kids along with me with pretty much everything that we do.
Yeah.
Or it's become our family language. A lot of my children speak creative, which I it's like a funny term I say, but they do. They speak creative better than they speak emotionally. You know, sometimes they just want to like go and create something, which also I would like to say, I think people look at my life and they're like, oh, so amazing that you let your kids do all this stuff. I grit my teeth a lot of the time when they're pulling wood out of the garage or how much they use spray paint right now. And, you know, there are accidents and there are messes beyond messes. But I think that's why I maybe differ from other moms. I really am not as scared of that. You know, nothing's too precious in my home. It's really about that kind of thing with my kids is being able to express themselves.
Yeah. Well, and you also are very blunt about it on Instagram. You do have like, you're really, because I feel like for the language that my parents' generation raised me, they didn't have the language to say to other parents, this is really hard for me, or right. There was a lot of hard words said, and then we still ended up cuddling on the trampoline at the end of the night, right? There wasn't that language taught to me about motherhood or parenthood at all. And I think what our exposure to Instagram has been is we need more of that reality check of, hey, like, I'm not exactly like, I really prefer a clean kitchen, but if they're going to go in there and experiment with a cookie dough, you know, it's a temporary mess, or it's, you know, it's not a permanent fixture in my life that it's going to derail anything for them to be creative.
Yes. Yes, but I think it's super fictional to not say to anyone out there that like it drives me insane. Like I just like I hate it. It's only me. It's not like I have a backup mom and like a cleaning crew behind me. So I have created environments in children that like, you know, make a mess, clean it up. But it's been takes a lot of years to get to that. And I also would say I create environments outside of my home. Like they do a lot of stuff outside.
Yeah.
That and they have free reign. But you're right. I would say that I do like being a little blunt about it. I guess that's so funny you say that I'm blunt, but I am. I just like, I don't like, I get the whole, I love a beautiful picture like anyone else. Yeah. You know, I do photography, but I do like taking more candids. And I say that meaning metaphorically, I think you should be more candid in life.
Yes.
Find the beauty in the argument in a way, like find progression in it, find growth in it, find, and also don't always be right as a parent, apologize, things like that. And like you mess up where, yeah, you think you're going to be creative and this is going to be great. And then it doesn't go great.
Yeah. But that's also part of the process and acknowledging that it didn't go well is adding to that process that I feel like more and more we leave out because it's uncomfortable, right? We just like leave that part out. And maybe it's not so much because I feel like blunt is maybe too harsh of a word, but you're very straightforward as far as like, this is how this goes, or this is, you know, this is what this is like.
Yeah, I know what it looks like. I know how beautiful things are. And I know like people fixate on their costumes and things that we do. But like last
because
year
for did. Those of you listening that don't know about Autumn's epic costumes, you just scroll back just a little bit and hit Halloween.
Tag Kimball costumes and you'll see all of them.
Oh, it's amazing.
But last, you know, it's coming to the year where they do their own. And so like last year, one of my kids came up with this crazy, amazing, everything was out of cardboard, which you think, oh, no big deal. And I didn't hover over him because I really wanted him to do it himself. And he had an X-Acto knife and like a million boxes. Well, I went upstairs to a fairly new house and there were like probably 300 little digs into a brand new wooden floor. And oh my gosh. And I just decided in that minute, I'm not even going to say anything. We're just going to go right over that. It's
right.
Going to be fine. It's just keep moving, you know? And it was like mind boggling to me, but it was in a way, the choice of having children is, there's things that happen like that. I don't have Sharpie on a couch, but I do have friends that do. And like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it becomes kind of funny. It becomes those family stories in right. a way. In the moment, I want to die. So go in the closet, help, you know, but like, it's just classic being creative. There's messes.
Yeah. Well, and it, but also, so let's delve into maybe a little bit how you became that way, because I don't think that is a typical, usually creative people either are very protective of their space, right? Like this is my creative bubble and I can be messy here, but don't come in and mess it up. Yes. Or they're like, they just explode on everybody else's space. Just like say, let me take up all of these spaces and have them to my use.
Yes. I guess that's the benefit of becoming an adult. I tell this to my kids all the time. I can do whatever I want. Now that you're an adult, like you get to make choices. So yes, I would say as a child, to just talk about the genesis of who I am, you always have to talk about your parents. I was dyslexic, still am. And I think I was slow to, you know, be social, even talk, even as a young kid. And I gravitated towards art and I was good at it, like naturally just good at it. Mm-hmm. And my mom, though she wasn't that way, fostered that, allowed that. I colored out of the lines. I mean, I even did murals in high school all over my room, like crazy amount. And they weren't cute. And she allowed that in her beautiful home. And so I loved that. And I carried that over as a mother and as a human being, like, it's just stuff. You can make it beautiful, but I like when there's things have a story and everyone is very manicured on Instagram, which I love a good picture, as I mentioned, and I love a good designed home, but I like a collected home full of things that are there's oddities and stuff all over my house, at least, you know,
and they're pertinent to you, right? It makes your home yours.
Yeah. But in reference to what you said about your space, you know, in being a creative, I've created my whole life as an open space for creativity. There's no rules and I love it. Like my mom and my husband knows this. Like I think after church, I'll still be wearing my Sunday dress and I'll be painting, you know? So every little thing has like, oh, oops, you know, right. Because there's just not enough time to always plan for that. And so I know this is probably painting me as crazy, but I am. I do allow crazy in my life and I love it. And I think it makes creativity more of a freedom with my children and they love it. And I enjoy it because I can't always get that personal creative documented time with six children. I don't have a nanny or things like that, which has always been the joke. That I don't have help, but I love it. And it gives me,
it fuels freedom. You.
Yeah. I love it. So, and it's built my relationship with my children. For an example, one of my children who's very different than me, but I know them. Like I understand what they're doing in their brain. They're creatively like expanding. He like goes through people's trash and ask them if they can have their wood or whatever. And he's built this whole structure. We call it shanty town down by our backyard in our creek. And it looks so scary. It's not cute. It's like he's in it and he adds to it. And he like planted some plants. It's just hilarious. But I know that that will be such a fixture in his childhood.
Yes.
And yeah, you have to Laos, I love being a mother because I love fostering these individuals and allowing them to stay individual, not what I wanted them to be.
Right.
Oh.
Well, do you think you came to that conclusion? Because you worked in the fashion industry before becoming a mother, right? Like you lived in New York. And did you live in Australia before kids or with kids?
With kids. Okay. I mean, really, my story is this. The short of it, I went to school for painting and museum curation, which I know sounds crazy. So I'm actually painting still, and I do commissions all the time. I just don't really show or talk about them.
Uh-huh. And
when I got married, my husband was going through med school, and I had to be an adult in quotations. And we had a mortgage all of a sudden. We bought a place in New York, which was a hole in the wall and needed renovations, but we had a mortgage, and I had never had a paying job like that. And so right. I applied to, like creatives would do, to like Martha Stewart or whatever I could apply to.
Right.
I had self-taught myself to make clothes and I had made money making clothes for other people and gala dresses. And I made my own wedding dress. That's something I always did. And I always drew. And so I applied to all these jobs and I got a job or I interview, which I didn't know at the time was for Calvin Klein. When I showed up, I had no portfolio. This is like a New York story, but it's mine. And I, the LLC for Calvin Klein Coats. And I had a great interview. And that night I went home and I drew a whole portfolio of what I thought they should do the next season. I dropped it off the next day and I was in the elevator leaving their front desk after dropping it off. And the VP called me and said I had the job.
Oh my word. That's the New York story, right? That's what you want.
It's very like that was random and whatever, but it was, I had tenacity and confidence in my creative ability. I had never done that job before, but all the skills that I had, you know, been able to grow as a child to an adult, drawing and just sewing and, you know, doing those kind of things allowed me to actually monetize. And so I ended up being a fashion designer, worked in Asia, worked for Calvin Klein, worked for so many other people, Vivian Tam. I mean, I have a long list. And then I became a creative director, which means I worked for a lot of different companies, kind of fixing their brand and designing. Basically prepare for sale Shabby Apple. And I did all that stuff towards the end. And so I I did lots of little companies and huge companies. And so that allowed me to do so many things and make money, which I had never really made a lot of money before.
Yeah.
So it was helpful. That's when you realize as a creative and adult, you actually need money to, you know, make money. And it's funny you mentioned, so while I was working at that company, I actually lived in Australia for half the time and I would fly back to the US because I was working at another company there.
Yeah.
When I started Instagram, I actually started it as an artist account. And I started just putting kind of, I challenged myself to do illustration a day that was more computer driven illustration. And, and it was like fashion. I would do fashion illustration because it's something I always did. Well, with that, I got jobs from Elle and Glamour, and I would do a lot of their illustrations for their online magazines. Mm-hmm. Women's Wear Daily picked me up. I did a bunch of their covers. So it was like all of a sudden there was this other avenue to make money that I could do in the time frame that I had children. And it brought me into a whole new world on Instagram, which I liked. It wasn't necessarily about me. It was about my work.
Yes.
And I really liked that. And then the only time I got personal on Instagram is when I had a tour. I had him prematurely. My water broke at 24 weeks. And he was such a cute preemie.
Mm-hmm.
Viral. I know a lot of, I have some interesting friends, and Gwyneth Paltrow reposted a picture that I posted with her cookbook, and I got like crazy amount of followers. And a lot of it's my only negative thing I've ever gotten to on Instagram. Like, it's the first time showing my kids, you know, he has like wires and oxygen. I think he's cute, but other people were like, that's wrong. And da, da, da. I'm like, because he's not perfect, you know?
And right. Like, he was perfect for tour. It's just.
Yeah. But I kind of like leaned into that. I like, ooh, I like that people, I'm in a weird space. Like my life is not perfect. I don't like it looking perfect. But I love my life and I want people to love their imperfect life.
Let's touch on that. Like imperfection though is like fuels you. You love that imperfection or that like imbalance there.
Well, I think even when I get dressed or like fashion in general, like I can make something look really perfect and styled. I know how to do that. But then I like kind of mess it up just in one little area and it looks, I don't know, more accessible or even new. And I think people should look at their lives like that, you know, like, okay, here's a perfect couch. You can, you know, copy it from someone on Instagram and now throw something else in there.
Now live in it. Yeah.
Yeah. That a kid can climb on the couch and play with and tinker with. I think that's why my house is really kid friendly, but it's also kind of quirky and fun.
But I think that's what makes us us, right? Like we're all, I don't really like to use the word imperfect because I feel like it's more like we're whole people just acting as our individual natures guide us. So we're just different in that level because I feel like the connotation of being imperfect, I disagree with that fundamentally because I think we're all whole people. We're just doing our best.
Or adjective, but yeah, that's a common.
But yeah, but I mean, like a perfect Instagram picture is actually made more beautiful by showing the life it leads by the, you know, the people or the life around it or the dog sitting on the couch getting hair on it or, you know, whatever it may be that makes it more imperfect actually adds to its beauty, such as life, like our creative lives. You can't just have this perfect trajectory of creativity. Because you have to have those failures or those mess ups or those things that, you know, like the gouges in the floor that say like, oh, somebody lived here. Like somebody lived here and lived a life here.
I actually weirdly like the gouges in the floor now. I'm like, maybe I should put that somewhere else. Like kind of like made it cooler. I don't know. It's just, yes, you're right. I really do gravitate towards from any individual. I like to see how, yes, they're really good at this or they're known for this, but I love how the connective tissue is with the rest of their life. I mm-hmm. like that part where, you know, well, how are you making this work or how is it really enhanced your life? I mean, yeah, everyone can, I don't know. It's hard to depict all that on Instagram or want that. I do think it's also theme and across social media is there's two, obviously everyone's like all of a sudden working out and showing their workout bodies a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's other, like, maybe everyone's getting very political, which no thanks, but I do like to, I don't know. Also the word inclusive is probably too used, but I don't know. It goes back to what you're saying about just finding a space for not the imperfections, but like the wholeness of a person.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think the longer I live, the more I realize your perspectives and your outlooks on life are irreplaceable because they're absolutely unique to you. And they're absolutely, like, nobody can have your same background, have your same visions for your life, have your same trajectory, and then even have like the same chemical makeup in your body that all contribute to your perceptions of life and your perspective. And that's irreplaceable. Like, that is a unique to you, you know, portion of the world. So if the more you can show up as the authentic you, it actually does lend a unique perspective. And I feel like that's what we lose in the sort of homogenizing of social media, of even looking like we have it all together, you know, like even pretending as though my life isn't the chaotic mess on, you know, most days that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like the more we actually share the true us, that actually is what relates us to other people, instead of the, my house looks this perfect every day, or my, you know, my kids are always perfectly dressed, or my, you know, my job is going perfectly well and I'm always successful, right? Like, instead of those facets of our lives, it's really more like, hey, this is me as a human showing up in the world. This is my humanness. Yeah.
Even veering away from like something like your home or what you wear, I do like, I'm really into people working it out, you know, like it's a work in progress. Like, I really like, I think that's why people like DIYs and they can't look away.
Yes.
Yeah, you can show the pretty picture, but people actually really like watching it kind of unfold, you know, and then the drywall and the tile goes up. It's like, oh, you know, yes. I think that's what, if people could really turn that on their personas and the way that they, how they make friends and how, you know, and build their friendships that way. That's back to my marriage. Like, I really like being able to evolve with someone. And that's how I like looking at my children too. I think a lot of times, if you like it or not, I mean, every parent probably is guilty of this. Like, maybe even my own, when if I go home, they look at me as my 16-year-old self, mm-hmm. you know, stuck in a spot like this is Autumn, or, you know, so I really work hard to allow my children to evolve past what maybe they were at last year, or, and it's super fun that way. Cause then you're like kind of surprised and then you're able to comment on it and they build on it. And I think I needed a little bit more of that. I think I got put into a creative, especially in school.
Yeah.
I didn't know quite smart in areas of my life. I got put in the creative box, you know, the art box. So teachers would give me options to draw something rather than write. I'm actually a good writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dyslexia shows up with my funny grammar sometimes, which I always get a kick when people comment, by the way. anyways, but like, I love writing and I love that. And I found that out in college. So I think allowing someone to evolve and find other parts of themselves, oh, I just think that's where the good stuff is. And, you know, when it's not, you know, you're in the in-between. I don't know when I'm going to be a finished product. I'm 41 and I can tell you that I thought 40 meant like, man, you're a lady and you wear like matching stuff and, you know, heels all the time. You know, there's like a perception.
Right.
I am not that. I still, I don't know, you know, have paint on everything.
So. Well, and I think that's like true to you. And I think the older we get, the more true to ourselves we should be. Like, we should actually be showing more of our true selves. I had somebody, we were
and
talking.
Others.
Oh, others, I think. Yes. Other, like, I had somebody talking about how autumn leaves, the green is actually not their true color, that actually leaves show their true color as they get older, as they age, because the chlorophyll like dies out. Right. So actually the color we're seeing of the autumn leaf is actually their true color. And I was like, oh, that's actually like a really good metaphor for aging, because they're all this great green in summer, right? Like in our earlier years, we're all this bright, vibrant. And then we like age and we're still vibrant colors. We're just lots of different colors.
I totally get that perspective. At the same time, I think during that age where you're like all the girls kind of your friends dressed alike, mm-hmm. and I was the weirdest kid, you know, made my clothes and like had flag pants. And I remember a boy coming up to me that I thought was just so hot. I think it was a freshman. He was a senior, and be like, you'd be really cute if you were like dressed normal, if you were just dressed normal. And I kind of leaned into that. I was like, that's ridiculous.
Right.
So, and back to even like, so yeah, I really get the whole, you know, variation as you get older. Like, I think that's the coolest part. If we could just reach down to the younger generations or even just each other and be like, man, fly your freak flag a little bit more. And it's not actually as freakish as you think. It's right. actually refreshing and closer to God, in my opinion. I really do.
Yeah.
I think
I would agree.
Variations. So let's go.
Yeah. I love that. So how do you evolve that into any sort of like plan for the future? How do you like make that your mission of like, you know, playing it forward in a sense of your like creative goals or your, you know, the things that you work towards in the future?
Well, I'll tell you where I'm at. I can't solve it for everybody, but we went through years. So for the first 14 years of my marriage, my husband was going through school. He's a neurosurgeon. And he double majored in finance and biology. Like the kid was really, it was like, and within that time I had quadruplets, and we had waited 6 years, then had children. So we had a lot of life happening, but there was like years where I needed to pick between diapers or wipes at the store, because quadruplets, no joke, so crazy expensive. It was like insane. And I mention all that because I was so hungry creatively, mm-hmm. and I didn't have the money to pull the triggers that I needed to, like, I'd get these amazing commissions, but I couldn't buy the materials on the front end. Oh. I got one of my most amazing opportunities, like of all time, for working for a big company. But it was in Europe and I had quadruplets. They had no idea. And I was trying to figure out, like, how could I do that? Could I travel and then come back? And people do it, right?
Right.
But I remember thinking, well, I got to go. There's two parts. There's staying hungry. And then the word that I hate, that's a disease, is called balance, which I don't have any in my life. But I would say that I have evolving priorities. And one that's been constant is my children, what kind of mom I want to be. And I couldn't take some of those opportunities that I really wanted, you know, like creatively, because I wanted to be a certain kind of mom. I didn't want someone taking my place to do that. And I was, you know, I was a first time mom, but there were four of them, you know, I just didn't want to miss it. So I mention all that because evolving as you get older, now I'm at a stage where, guess what? I can buy both diapers and wipes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I can go, because like, it has never lost on me that I can do things, because there were times where I really, you know, we were both working and had children and it was stressful. So I would say evolving to the point where I am now, I'm not as hungry as I once was, because I, you know, we're not needing to keep the lights on, which actually makes you less creative. You actually have to force yourself to give yourself assignments. And I do that for my children too. It's like, okay, they get into robots or they get into something. And so I give them like three different electronics that they can take apart. I go, you have to actually finish this. And I want to see a product.
Yeah.
And it's because I have that problem as a creative. And so you have to create like this internal hunger that was once there easily accessed. But as you get older, it's like, oh, you're tired. I don't know, you've been through all of it. And so you're just like, yeah, it's easier to coast and say, oh, I'm just doing the mom thing. Well, do it well. Like, let's do it. Like, let's get all in. And
yeah,
I can't do the time, but I can do it a lot of the time. So my kids got into bees. So we have, I'm looking at four towers of bees out there, you know, and like we get into stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think that's the long version of it, is staying hungry and then, you know, self-propelling, I don't know, and just trying to finish projects. I think it's super important. That's where I'm at in my life.
Well, yeah, I think that's actually really wise, because the complacency thing, or not, maybe not complacency, but the, like you said, staying, yeah, just your comfort zone becomes easier to just say like, I don't need to push. Like it's not the driver, but finding a need to push, you know, giving yourself either a timeline or a deadline, or even pushing to finish. I loved that you pointed out, just push to finish something is also like a good trigger to say, I want this. I want what this creativity does for my life. And we're going to push through it.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to die. We're all going to die. What do you want to leave behind that was like, and it won't last forever, whatever you leave behind, but it'll be something that your kids map on, or your grandchild, or something, or like, you know, it was like a love letter to life. Like, I just do. I have weird trinkets from my grandma. I want to leave trinkets that I collected for my kids. Like, I just think, be more mindful with the time that we have here. And I don't know. I don't know.
I think that's really great, because usually at the end of each podcast, I ask people if you could say one thing to mankind that if they heard it, they would internalize.
Yeah.
What would it be? And I think if it's leaving your mark on the world.
I mean, for, you know, it's ironic you say that. I actually was thinking about a weird perspective on that. Like, I actually don't want to leave a mark. Like, I don't want to leave a dent. I don't want to leave. I think the world does better without us sometimes. You know what I mean? We try to mold it so hard and we're so frustrated. But if you really look at older people, they have like this inner grace and like quietness about them and perspective. They don't need to be so loud. I love being, I think something I'm trying to creatively also bring into my life, but people I admire do this really well, is they really ponder and think about things. So they're quieter. And like, when I rarely have no kids in my car, there's no radio. There's no one, no phone.
Yeah.
And I just think about things, and actually makes me execute cleaner and quicker on my creative ideas, because I've kind of thought it all the way through and then I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I would want to leave on the world, is like, I mean, use your time to use your brain, like think, be quiet for a minute. And I think that's very contradictory to what's going on in the world. Everyone's very loud.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how that works on leaving something behind, but you know, think about stuff. I have boys, and I'm probably going to get nailed for this. My husband thinks I'm bad about this, but there is like a, you know, overall feeling on boys that they're not very observant and they kind of just, you know, wreck it Ralph through life.
Right.
I feel that the most attractive men, and I mean like males versus females, is when I think women are exceptionally observant. I don't know if we're just born that way, but we just naturally are. We notice people's haircuts. We notice, you know.
Yeah. Tiny little changes about people we notice.
Yeah. And change in the wind, the weather, oh, a storm's coming. You know what I mean? I just think we're really good at that. But when a man does it, I don't know, it does cause more waves. And I really want my boys to be observant of others and not just themselves. And so I don't know why I'm even mentioning that, but other than leaving something behind in the world is really leaving your children and
leaving them as observers of either something that needs to be done to make it better, or observers of themselves, like their own impact in the world. You know, like observant people will also take self inventory.
Yes, I love self. I'm totally about that. I just really think self-introspection.
Yes.
I just love it. Yeah. I think when people, it takes time to do that. You know, I mean, I'm basically talking too much, as podcasts will let you do. But I will say, I mean, you mentioned something in the beginning about my marriage. COVID like put us on our knees. Like, I was not happy with him. No. I was like, because everyone else's husbands were home, and my husband, like, he tends to lean in and become more industrious and take care of others outside of our home, which lots of doctors do.
Yeah.
And he was spinning his wheels, and it was causing a lot of, like, I was like drowning at home. Six kids is a lot, you know?
Yep.
And I needed partnership and just like, hey, what's up? You know, high five, you know, I won't let you drown. And it gave me a lot of perspective on just, you know, taking care of each other, being self-introspective. People often say, you know, marriage is work. I don't like that sentence. I don't like people saying that. What's actually the work that needs to be done is self-introspection. And then you're ready to play. It's like being on a team. You got to do your own work. You can't do anything for the other person. As a woman, like, you could say all you want to your husband, but until it's theirs and they own it and they want to change it,
right,
they're not going to be different. So I would just, yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast I'm really into right now in my brain about talking about owning your stuff, you know, and then somebody else can be inspired by that, actually.
Right.
So,
well, and I think like we talked about before, owning yourself is actually like your unique ability in this world. So the more you can actually own your own crap, you're going to be able to say, this is me showing up. And yes, like, maybe that's not showing up the way your expectation says that I should show up. But then we can hopefully have a conversation about how your expectation isn't mine. And it evolves into a better foundation for actually solving the problem.
I agree. Like, I actually was like, we joked about, I got asked to maybe think about writing a book once, and I make funny jokes about what those titles would be. But my current one was like, okay, I've showed up, now what? Because I'm really into, like, that's the minimal effort, actually, is showing up, right? Is actually owning your stuff. Now you have to find value in it. Now what? How do you access it and do something?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the next level? You know,
right.
I'm not all areas of my life, but I'm definitely like on the bridge to getting and wanting that. And I don't know. That's what I think sets apart. I don't know. We could talk about the word success, which is kind of a tough word. And you, like you said, you have to define what that is for each person. I recently was at, I had a bridal shower at my house, and there are all these women around, and as tradition, they give advice, and I was recording, so I wasn't really interacting, and every single woman gave advice about fighting, and it really bugged me. I was like, what? This is what we're like.
This is the knowledge. This is our tribal knowledge. This is how you fight well.
And I'm not discounting the, you know, the intent, but I was like, how devastating to be on the front end knowing that it's going to be a fight. So I've really been pondering about that, thinking, okay, and that's creatively too. It's like, what if really somebody's, you know, they say it to you all the time. If you have children, don't, you know, you can't have it all, or, you know, just throw out your
dreams and hopes and expectations out the window.
And there is truth on some level of that, but it isn't as devastating as people put a like twist on it. It's actually flipping awesome. I did not babysit or change anyone's diaper or hold a baby before my own. Like, I just was not that into kids. I have six now. I must be really into it. I love it. And it makes me a much better person and engaging. And what I, in reference to that shower, the fight really isn't about, when you fight with your spouse or you fight with your kids, it's really as a woman, because you want to be more efficient so you can have something more time for yourself or more of whatever you're dreaming of.
Mm-hmm.
And so to the beginning of our conversation, I think that's why I try to create my life where there's no boundaries. Like, it's like an open floor plan for your life rather than just your house. It's where the kitchen bleeds into the living room and whatever, and you have eyesight across the way. Well, think about that for your life where, you know, my kids are involved, you know, I'm doing this business with them called Kind Human.
Mm-hmm.
Is their idea, and it's all boys suits, but we're coming out. We have a lot of other stuff. We launched during COVID. Awesome way to launch. But it's the idea of staying in that fight rather than making it a negative. I've, you know, created this little capsule collection of boys' colorful suits. My boy loves pink suits, by the way. It's the bestseller. Hilarious. Yeah. And they love it, but it's also filling a need for me. And I realize more and more when I'm, you know, all those women talking about fight, if you can somehow make it seamless where your family isn't working against you, and I don't want my boys thinking my life is about supporting them to get to what their dreams are. I want it to be a collective, like, hey, what's Lincoln into? What's dad into? What's mom into? Let's all work towards so that she can have that, or that dad can have. And I think it makes them, like we talked before about having more observant life where they can see it's not all about them.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that the more we try and do that, the better, like the hard conversations that we're having as a nation, or the, you know, the advice that we're giving to the generations beyond, if we can incorporate that, it then becomes something stronger that they can actually stand on.
Yeah. It's an open floor plan.
Yes.
Like, everyone should be able to see what everyone else is doing a little bit, you know, like it affects this person. It's too loud over here. They can't study, you know, whatever it is.
Right. And I think that's watching out for ourselves actually helps us do that, right? Like knowing that we're being too loud, that somebody else can't study.
Yeah.
Like if I don't care about them studying, I'm not going to be quiet. So it's,
it's bad in our house. I don't know if this will come off right, but we say taking up too much air. There's so much air for everyone to breathe.
Yeah.
And one taking up 90% of the air because of they're in a bad mood, or, you know, they're loud, or they're just being a jerk. It's not acceptable, you know?
Yeah.
And in the world, it should be that way too. And you can see it all the time happen, you know, where someone is just so dominant that it's actually not conducive to the whole world moving forward. And I would say the same way with any creative endeavor I've ever done. Every time when I get like so sucked into it, the wheels come off in my home, you know, and I have to like renegotiate my priorities. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, I think that's awesome.
The first session. You get wrong with me and then you feel great about yourself.
It's perfect.
Right?
No, I think perfectly encouraging because you feel like there's perpetual motion forward. We're all kind of just helping propel each other forward. I love your perspective on, you know, everybody's in this boat together, right? So don't take up too much air.
Yeah, share the air, man.
Right? We all have to be here together.
I really promote being excited about life. Like there are going to be things that rock you and that bring you down and that you cannot control, from death, loss of friends, accidents, you know, I mean, gosh, there's just endless. We all have these differences. So why not be excited about life? And it can be the stupidest thing. Like, I think some people really like my kids love to get Slurpees. That happens like never. Like, why shouldn't we be excited about a Slurpee? Like, be excited. Like even when you have nothing, some of my best years of my life is when I literally had nothing but my babies. And I felt like the richest person on the planet.
Yeah.
If we can get back to that, I think you'll be more creatively driven, better mother, just like, but if you're always wanting for something better or what somebody else has, anyways, I'm sure I've talked your ear off.
No, I loved it. I loved it. Okay. So, well, thank you so much for sharing your perspectives. Honestly, I think we need more of that. Just like you express raw creativity into the world and you do it really well and very concisely. And we literally are dying for it. So thank you for sharing the air for all of us to partake.
Hey, go get it. Everyone go get it.
Yeah, go get it. Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Like I said, Autumn is one of those raw creatives. She genuinely shows her creative sides in every aspect of her life, creative thinking and acknowledging your own input as well as your own potential in certain situations, and then not being afraid to speak up for the potential you want to see in your life, both in your personal life, in your work life, in your, you know, creative outlets. All of those sort of come full circle for Autumn, and it's more of what we need to see from people, because people embracing their own lives is what we need more of. People need to embrace their own freak flag, as Autumn put it in the interview. Just saying, I believe in my own potential to be able to claim my right to creative outlets and claim the ability to see others for the potential that they have. So thank you for listening today. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. And as always, I hope you play this weekend, if only for 5 minutes. Just make it enjoyable.